Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. South Carolina head coach Will Muschamp is going to join us coming up on the show in about 35 minutes from now. So Gamecocks fans, stay right there. Will Muschamp, your head coach, is going to join us coming up at 40 minutes past the hour. Also this hour, there was a fascinating graphic put up during one of the preseason football games this weekend that had two different quarterbacks on it that made you pause and say, We'll discuss said graphic coming up here on the show in about 15 minutes from now. Mike Mayock has drawn the line in the sand from Antonio Brown, and that is a different order of business in Raider Town. To this point in time, Gruden specifically, who's the face of the franchise, the mouthpiece of the franchise, has supported AB. The organization has supported AB. They have supported him and didn't blame him for the frostbitten feet. They have said it wasn't his fault with the helmet. They have supported him and said they understand. They want him to feel comfortable. They want him to feel safe. But yesterday, after another lost weekend, Mayock said it is time for AB to be all in or not. And that is a definitive line in the sand. Now, I tend to agree. I tend to agree that at some point in time, you've got to call AB out for the nonsense, or else he's just going to keep shoveling you nonsense. But this is notable because this is the first time they have publicly turned on Antonio Brown, and the Twitter account of the team took the comment and retweeted it as a quote-unquote statement about Antonio Brown. Look, in no uncertain terms, the Raiders are now fitting for a fight. And I think to this point in time, they have been very worried about getting on his bad side, because if you get on his bad side, you may never get on his good side ever again. But I find this pretty amazing, because their tact all along has been play nice with AB, play nice with AB, play nice with AB. And we are not 2 weeks from Labor Day, and already the Raiders are changing course. Now, this is strategic. Gruden has not said this. So Gruden's still going to try to play good cop, and Mayock starts with the bad cop routine. But pretty soon, Gruden's going to have to fall in line and play bad cop as well, because you can't have your GM say one thing and your coach say another thing. And we know Mayock works for Gruden, not the other way around. So what does it tell me? It tells me John Gruden is frustrated with AB and realizes he can't hold the company line of that everything's fine, no problem. And I find that really interesting, because we still have 3 weeks of the preseason left. I mean, 2 weeks of games, then a week up until week one of the NFL season. That means they already see it getting away from them, already. And look, the Raiders have their own dysfunction. The Raiders have always had their own dysfunction. The Raiders have 1 foot out the door going to Las Vegas. The Raiders have a team that will be lucky to crack 6 wins. But Antonio Brown does this. He pushes the limits of sanity, and the Raiders decided to jump on board because he had all of this talent and thought that they could corral it and they could make him happy, they could make him productive. And what Antonio Brown is proving is He's that crazy. He is just that temperamental, that mercurial, does it whatever he wants, however he wants, and he is making basically a mountain out of a molehill. And even the Raiders, the team that just traded two picks for him and gave him $31 million guaranteed, even that team is going, enough is enough. And we're not even at Labor Day yet. It's now sunk. This won't end well in Oakland. Might they get a year out of AB? Maybe. Maybe they'll get a season where he's somewhat productive this year. Hell, maybe there will even be a couple of games this year where Antonio Brown catches 150 yards worth of footballs, two touchdowns. There might be those great moments. I mean, he's a great player. But if you haven't even had him suit up yet and you are giving him ultimatums, he just got $31 million like 5 minutes ago. And the idea was, as long as you pay him, he'll be happy. He'll be happy for now. They gave him $31 million. They ripped up his contract, gave him $31 million guaranteed. 5 minutes ago, they're already giving him an ultimatum. You got to be all in. That's scary. That's scary that it's already hit DEFCON 3 right now. And we're 2 weeks away from the end of the preseason and 3 weeks away from week one. It's so early to have hit DEFCON 3. And then DEFCON 4 is, you release him. You can't trade him. What are you going to get for him? What team is going to take him after this? You've got to take the contract and hope that you don't have AB blow up your locker room. I mean, that's a conditional sixth round pick. That's what you get back for AB. So you might as well just release him. If you can even get a conditional sixth. And then, of course, he goes to New England and becomes, you know, a 2,000-yard receiver. And they win three Super Bowls with him. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Now our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. John's in Houston on Sports Radio 650 there. What's going on, John?
Hey, good morning, DAA. I just want to say I think we have to give the Pittsburgh organization a tremendous amount of kudos. I mean, they lasted with this guy for 6 or 7 years, and a lot of this didn't come out till the very end. I mean, you know, like they took a lot of criticism last year on how they handled the situation, but now I think we may need to look at that whole situation differently.
I think you're right. I mean, Mike Tomlin, I think, did end up having a bit of a loose locker room, but perhaps most of this was just simply that Antonio Brown is incorrigible and nobody can control him, and that the fact that the Steelers were able to keep a lid on it for that long, they deserve a lot of credit for. So Daniel Jones, rookie quarterback, the New York Giants, has now had two somewhat decent outings as rookie quarterback of the New York Giants. 2 weeks in a row, he's gotten some snaps and led a touchdown drive, although this past week he did have a couple of fumbles. So Pat Shurmur, his head coach, saying you got to protect the football, but there was some nice throws there. But already the New York overhype drive is in full effect as the back pages of the tabloids have nicknamed Daniel Jones Danny Dimes. And what is most scary is that we have a member of this team of our radio show that is already comparing Daniel Jones to all-time greats. I mean, have you no dignity to already be going there?
What do you mean no dignity? He may not be there yet. We have to see him for the next 15 years, but he's certainly on that path after the first two preseason games.
He's on the path to what?
To being a great quarterback. look up and down the draft class through two preseason weeks now in the NFL. The best player in the 2019 NFL draft is Daniel Danny Dimes Jones.
You don't find it a little premature to be talking about who the best player in the draft was after two preseason games?
I'm not an idiot. Of course, some things could be a little premature. I'm not saying he can't completely fall on his face, but all you got to do is watch the tape and watch him. It doesn't matter who he's facing or who he's throwing to. The footwork, the arm electricity, the deep ball, the ball placement, the in-the-zone face, the command of the huddle. Daniel Jones has it all, and everybody was so wrong on this.
Come on.
You want to talk about a steal at number six?
Oh, my God, a steal.
The Cardinals are going to look back drafting Kyler Murray at one and go, what did we do?
No.
We missed out on potentially Joe Montana here.
Oh, stop.
You stop. Have you watched him?
Yes.
I know you've been doing boat tours all around New York City. Daniel Jones has been dropping dimes at people's
laughs. I haven't seen Joe Montana.
Look, all I'm saying is there's probably going to be a time where me and you are together on Radio Row in New Orleans, 2045, and Daniel Jones is pushing Skechers, and we're looking back and talking about how many Lombardis he won.
How many Lombardis?
Because that's...
You're going there.
He's with a franchise that's won a lot of Lombardis. He certainly has the makeup to do it. He has the pedigree to do it.
He's thrown two preseason games.
And looks electric.
Oh,
electric, God. D.A. Electric. Danny Dimes. A legend's been born. I know you.
Legend has been born?
All I know is this. You watch the guy throw and you watch all these other quarterbacks. The zip on his pass. I haven't seen a quarterback throw a ball like this in who knows how long. Probably since Aaron Rodgers came out into the league. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
D.A., I know this is eye roll. It's two preseason. You're missing the point. It's not about the outcome, the wins and losses. He threw a ball down the sideline on the run. It looked like the Mario Manningham touchdown catch, Super Bowl 46.
Oh, my God.
And only Daniel Jones out of this draft class could do that.
Oh, my
and everybody talked about tanking for two and Justin Herbert and all this. These idiot teams missed out. Daniel Jones had nobody to throw to at Duke and went under the radar, and the Giants freaking got a steal.
He's thrown like 20 passes total in an NFL uniform, and they've been against third and fourth and fifth string quarterbacks.
Oh, that's not true. That's not true. The Jets, he faced the Jets' first defense. Well, two of them. Avery Williamson is now out for the year. It does.
Come on! Come on.
He's comfortable in the pocket.
You're telling – you have even said this could be a Favre to Rodgers situation.
Yes.
You are comparing a guy that has thrown 20 passes in
Peyton
the preseason to – you're comparing him to future Hall of Famer.
Because he looks the part.
Like a future Hall of Famer?
Yes.
How could you know that?
Because you just watch the game. There's certain things you can tell with a quarterback. The strength of the arm. The way it's electric. The ball comes out of his arm, and it's electric down the field. His ball placement. You guys are making me sound like an idiot. It's true.
You think?
He knows where to go with the football. His command of a huddle at his age. For
Mraz,
a guy who was the sixth overall pick and ridiculed,
he looks
unbelievable. He already has the nickname.
Why can't you learn your lesson? 2 years ago, you said if the Giants draft Davis Webb, they're set for the next 15 years.
I did say
he's not on the team.
Okay, again, third rounder, and I agree. I was wrong. I was wrong, and that was before.
Why would you get ahead of yourself this dramatically?
That was completely different. That was me watching Davis Webb at the combine and college tape.
Uh-huh.
Once he got in an NFL uniform in the preseason games, he didn't look the way Daniel Jones.
Okay.
Me watching Daniel Jones in an NFL uniform. And, and by the way, I was at camp watching him practice the other day.
Oh, boy.
On the sideline,
here we go.
I had to hold my forehead, D.A. I couldn't believe it. I know you guys are laughing. You guys are going to be on this train at the end of the year. Again, this sounds crazy because the year he had, if Eli plays this full year, look, Daniel Jones is Patty Mahomes part two.
Come on.
And I only say that because, like, he obviously has the same kind of – Mahomes might be able to throw a ball maybe 5 yards deeper, but the same kind of electric arm strength and the idea that, you know, Patrick Mahomes sat that whole first year, was ridiculed. Why would the Chiefs trade up? Same kind of deal. Why would the Giants take him at six, going to sit the whole year? 2020, Daniel Jones is going to be an MVP candidate.
Oh, my God. Why?
The proof's in the pudding.
Why? Well, yes. So your proof is two preseason games.
You keep harping on, like, the preseason. That why are we playing them then if we can't judge a player? Why are we playing them?
We shouldn't be. That's the whole point why the NFL doesn't want preseason games anymore.
But time out. If Daniel Jones was out there and he was throwing picks left and right and his arm looked weak and he was thrown into the dirt, what would the story be? Boy, the Giants really made a mistake.
Well, it shouldn't have been. It should be. These
so
games,
is it the opposite of that? Him looking unbelievably
the
awesome?
Games
like, wow, they
don't
nailed it?
Matter. It doesn't matter.
But
everything out there doesn't
does.
Matter.
His performance does.
He had you two drives. It's two drives.
But it doesn't matter who he's going against. He could be playing Mio and Bilotti in the secondary. You can see where he places a ball and his arm. Strength.
You think if he plays Mio and Bilotti in the secondary, I don't think that's a fair grade on his quarterbacking.
I'm talking about the abilities you could judge without seeing who's playing on a defense.
There's plenty of
arm
guys.
Arm strength doesn't matter who's in the secondary.
There's plenty of quarterbacks with arm strength that stink. There's plenty of quarterbacks.
But they don't have the ball accuracy.
Yes. This happens every year. There's crappy quarterbacks every year in the preseason that look great. Every freaking year. Perez, you've watched football for 25 years.
I have.
Every preseason this happens. There's quarterbacks that look good and they stink.
And there's quarterbacks that look great and they're great. And Daniel Jones looks like he's going to be great. He can move out of the pocket, move the huddle. The guy should be starting day one already. The Giants nailed this. They nailed it. Everybody killed him on draft day for taking Daniel Jones sixth overall. Duke stunk. He had a lot of incompletions. We don't know if he could throw the deep ball. And here we are. It's mid-August. We're heading towards opening day, and the Giants got the best player in the 2019 draft,
How could you say that? How could you
possibly
say that?
Because I've seen 2 weeks of preseason.
Yeah, well, that's all that matters.
Williams, cute little player. Nick Bosa can't get on
the field. Do you think 2 weeks into the preseason you could have said Aaron Donald's the best player in this draft?
You probably could have. Or Odell Beckham.
Come on. There's no way you would have been able to say that.
Quarterback's a little different.
Well, every year, whoever is the backup to Tom Brady looks good in the preseason, and suddenly they go, well, he's the next franchise quarterback, and they all stink.
But how many first-round picks?
Suddenly Daniel Jones is now God's gift to quarterback because you've seen him throw two touchdowns. Two.
Not just the touchdowns, it's the drives. He goes down the huddle, like carving up defense. It's unbelievable.
Here's the shame. This is why I'm mad at you. Because now I've got to root against Daniel Jones to shove it in your face because this is so premature. Look, Daniel Jones might end up being great. It's a possibility. There's no way you know that after two preseason games.
Make me a deal. You will be honest about it come December when he's already played, because I'm sure Eli will.
Of course, I'm always honest.
And me and you, shirts off in December. Across my belly, I have Danny. Across your chest, you have Dimes. We sit in the upper decks at MetLife Stadium.
And what's the line here? He's got to be great. He's got to be the next Aaron Rodgers.
That you, I will honor system. You say, I was dead wrong, Miraz, you're right. This guy's awesome.
That's it. He's just got to be awesome.
Yeah.
What's the definition of awesome?
I think we all know what the definition of awesome is.
No, okay, do we?
This guy is the good. Look, I was skeptical, too. I wanted Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins still might be really good. This just also further proves the point. Oh, you should tank or wait because next year's quarterback class is better. Teams missed out on Daniel Jones, and the Giants got the best player in the draft. And I, for sure, am giddy about it. Danny Dimes.
You are declaring a player the best player in the draft after two preseason games.
I'm not naive. I understand how outrageous that could seem without anybody understanding.
Do you think
the context.
at any point in NFL history, any point, if we went through every draft class, do you think at any point in NFL history that best player in the draft class would have been declared after 2 weeks of the preseason?
I'd have to go back, but I imagine a couple times it had to have
no
happened.
Way.
Sure.
No way. There's no way.
Sure.
So Tom Brady, there's no way anybody would have known after two preseason games.
Of course. Okay. Tom Brady not, but I'm sure.
Obviously not Joe Montana. He was a third round draft pick. Okay.
All right.
So
yeah.
That's the two best quarterbacks of all time. Do you think that...
We thought pretty highly of Russell Wilson when he came out in that preseason. He beat out Matt Flynn. Remember that? And we were like, wow, this guy's really good.
Do you think
Dak Prescott looked awesome a couple years ago in the preseason.
And you would have declared him the best player in the NFL draft that year after two preseason games? Do you think that would have been a smart play?
Look, I'm not... I know I sound stupid.
You think?
I'm not stupid. I've watched football a long time. I've watched
You should
kid.
Know that this happens every year that a preseason player looks good. And then he doesn't end up being good.
D.A., from what we've seen, does he look more Aaron Rodgers? Does he look more Ryan Tannehill?
There's no way I'm going to compare him to Aaron freaking Rodgers.
Which one does he look more like?
And oh, by the way.
You refuse to answer the question. Which one does he look more like?
Well, Jacoby Brissett looks more like Aaron
Rodgers. Oh, come on.
Aaron
He's not Jacoby
Rodgers.
Brissett. This is a sixth overall pick here.
There's a thousand quarterbacks that look more like Aaron Rodgers than a stiff in the preseason. This happens every year. Derek Carr looks more like Aaron Rodgers.
There's great quarterbacks constantly coming to the NFL year in and year out. Why can't Danny Jones be that?
Well, is Kyler Murray bad suddenly because of two preseason games?
Not bad, but he's clearly more of a work in progress than Daniel Jones is. And I don't even know why I'm still calling him Daniel Jones. It's Danny Dimes.
It's so sad. This is so sad.
Eli to Jones is Favre to Rodgers. It's Peyton to Luck. And the Giants have nailed this.
I mean, Bilotti, are you going to punch him in the ear or what?
It's sickening. It can never be just, hey, he's had a good first couple of
preseason games. It can't just be like
games.
Reasonable. You can't be reasonable.
Never reasonable.
Never.
I'm being reasonable.
No, you're not.
I am judging something based on not defense.
Two preseason drives that in touchdowns, and you're comparing him to Aaron Rodgers.
You know what this is like, D.A.? It's like when somebody flies to New York City and they go to Times Square for the first time, and they look up and they go, look at this is unbelievable. When you watch Daniel Jones throw in the preseason, it's like arriving at Times Square for
the
first time.
Preseason. It's not even the regular season. And if he had two regular season games like this, I would say it's premature.
Just be fair. If he sucked, we'd be talking about what a mistake the Giants
made. I wouldn't be, because I don't put any stock into these.
Many would.
None.
Guy's dynamite.
What happened to RG3? You think we would have declared him the best quarterback in the draft?
A little different. That injury screwed him. I still think he would have been really good.
You think he would have been the best player in that draft, and you would have declared it after two preseason games?
Probably, yeah. I still think his career got screwed.
Right. This is what I'm dealing with, everybody. This is what I'm dealing with. 855-212-4CBS. Please give Mraz a piece of your reasonable mind. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back, what is the most telling part about this quarterback graphic that flashed over the weekend? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
Come on, yappy here all day, big boy. Come on, bring it.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Watch the show at watchda.com every single day. We have the simulcast cooking live in sparkling Technicolor. Just find it on your phone or your mobile device, your tablet, your PC, your laptop, even your smart TV, watchda.com. College football season is just around the corner, and tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, join CBS Sports Network's team of experts as they tackle the hottest topics of the gridiron. It's Inside College Football, the 24-hour home of CBS Sports.
CBS Sports Spectacular, yeah!
Preceding Inside College Football, I'll be on Time to Shine, filling in for Adam Schein today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. So if you want to catch me on CBS Sports Network today, tomorrow, and Wednesday, it is Time to Shine between 6 and 7 o'clock Eastern time on the CBS Sports Network. Mraz is comparing Eli to Daniel Jones, Favre to Rodgers. Myron tweets, D.A. Mraz right now sounds delusional. Let's see what happens when he plays a real game. Our friend Brandon Cristal, who covers the Denver Broncos and oftentimes joins us as an insider, tweeted at or actually texted me, "This Danny Dimes segment is quintessential Mraz. Paxton Lynch went 6-for-7 in his first preseason game as a rookie and threw two touchdowns in his second game. Kyle Sloter, Vikings backup, former Broncos preseason player after this weekend, has 9 touchdowns and 0 INTs in his preseason career." Daniel tweets, "Remember in 2014 when Brandon Whedon was preseason MVP?
Brandon Whedon's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed. He's a bum."
The list goes on and on and on. On and on and on. Kevin tweets, "Second-year Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph went 15-for-23, 168 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 INTs in the preseason. Big Ben, better to look out. His job is in jeopardy. Hashtag Danny preseason champ. Hashtag get him the hell out."
The Giants nailed this. They nailed it. I'd hope Mason Rudolph's looking good. He was drafted to replace Roethlisberger. Good one, pal.
Why do you do this to yourself?
Do what? Get excited? Be happy for once in my pathetic life?
You can get excited, but why be totally crazy, unreasonable, off the edge of the universe?
I wasn't after week one.
Oh, good. You held back after one preseason game.
And then you watch week two and you go, okay, this is legitimate now. And one more thing for all those... Well, he didn't face it in the defense. He also didn't play with Sterling Shepard, Evan Ingram, or Saquon Barkley. Imagine when he has those weapons with him.
It's such a shame because now we have to root against Daniel Jones just to shove it in your face because he's so stupid.
It's electric.
It's electric.
And it's electric.
Hey, it's electric.
It's electric.
Chris tweets, "I might be family with Mraz, but he has drank the Kool-Aid too quickly. Jones looks good, but let's wait for, you know, a regular season game." I mean, there's even somebody in your family that admits that you're an idiot.
Great. It doesn't matter. And he's going to struggle at times. It doesn't matter. We're here to stay.
Jim is next up. He's in Virginia listening on 106.1 of CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Great. I just want to talk to Mraz about that game against the Bears.
Yes.
Yeah. First of all, I don't know if you realize that I really enjoyed that. I'm a Bears fan when I noticed that no starters played in that game. Did you know that?
No Bears defensive starters were in?
No Bears defensive starters started that game.
That's interesting. Huh.
Yeah, how would Daniel Jones liked it if Khalil Mack came around the corner on him?
Huh. So none of the starters, not just Khalil Mack, none of the Chicago Bears starters played in that game against Daniel Jones?
No offensive starters, no defensive starters. Huh. They all sat out that game. I was so happy about that.
Uh-huh. That's interesting.
Right? The only thing I cared about was the kicks.
Right. That's the only thing that matters right now.
Yeah. My wife was looking at me funny because every time the Bears got down like the 30, I was like, stop them there. Stop them there. Because I really wanted just to see kicks all night long.
Mraz, there were no Bears defensive starters.
Again, you pea-brain idiots. There was no Saquon Barkley, no Evan Engram, no Sterling Shepard. Did I miss all the giant weapons that were out there versus the Bears' second-teamers?
Well, do you
throwing
think,
down the field
do
to Cody Latimer.
Kind of important that Daniel Jones might need to do something against, starting NFL players?
Sure.
Before you declare him to be the next Aaron Rodgers?
Sure. And when he does that with Evan Engram, with Saquon Barkley, maybe the best running back in football? Come on, guys. Let's wake up here. It wasn't one-sided.
Kevin tweets, I know it's Monday, but can I trash Mraz already? Bring back Connor Green.
You want him, you can have him.
I know Connor Green doesn't have idiotic takes like this. I mean, isn't this a shame now, Bogish, that we have to actively root against a nice young man in Daniel Jones just to make sure Mraz is wrong?
This is the downside, one of many, of Shawnee. He makes you have enemies you don't want to have.
That's right.
Because you need him to be wrong. And Daniel Jones ends up being an innocent victim in all this.
Can you call him Danny Dimes, please, and just respect the name a little? Even if you don't respect the preseason, respect the name.
Awful. Really awful.
It's electric.
Danny Dimes.
It's electric.
His arm against Scrubs.
It's electric.
Second stringers, third stringers.
It's electric.
Nobody you've ever heard. Bum, bum, bum. Throws down the sideline against bums. It's the Bears backups.
Was that Carl Banks dropping in?
It's the Bears backups.
It's electric.
Danny Dimes. Yeah. Throw it against air.
Wow.
10,000 people in the stands. People are at the bathroom and the beer lines. Doesn't matter, no, because it's the preseason now.
It's electric.
Danny Dimes, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He's throwing against guys that are bagging groceries and will not have a job in a week.
And it's electric.
Call the Turk.
It's electric.
Cut all the Bears. They just got beat by Danny
Jones.
It's
electric.
All those guys will be cut.
It's electric.
Because they stink. They stink, they stink, they stink. Danny Jones.
It's electric.
Did the song reference his two fumbles? I don't remember that came up.
That's later on.
Oh, okay. Second verse.
That's the second stanza. When we come back, Will Muschamp is going to join us here on the show. We'll talk South Carolina Gamecocks football with Will Muschamp.
Good
next.
Thing he's not on hold now. Pull a Richard Justice. If you're going to sing horrible songs and not talk to me, I'm out.
Will Muschamp next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
DA, my man, how are you? First off, I just want to thank you, Mraz, the body, Bogus, for being a big part of my work week, man, because you guys sure make the morning fly by, and I appreciate that.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. DA with you. College football is right around the corner. and coming into his fourth season as head coach at South Carolina, coming off a 7-6 season last year and a Belk Bowl appearance, is Will Muschamp. And he joins us this morning on the show. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How's everything going?
Doing tremendous. Thanks so much for joining us. And the SEC, as we all know, is a beast. But you've coached in this conference for nearly a decade now as a head coach. The SEC schedule, would you describe it as invigorating or exhausting when you're playing that type of talent week in and week out?
I'd describe it as a great opportunity to play on the biggest stage in college football week in, week out. And that's what excites you about being in a place like South Carolina and the venues that we're going to visit. When you talk in terms of going between the hedges and going to the swamp and going to Neyland Stadium and right here at Williams-Brice Stadium, some of the best venues, best competition, iron sharpens iron, play against the best each week. And that's what excites you about this league and being a part of it.
What a challenge you guys have in your third game of the season, take it on Alabama. That's going to be September the 14th. Now, you'll have two games before then. We know Bama is routinely one of the best teams in college football. What do you want to see in the first two games you guys play with such a big early season matchup against the Tide so that you feel, okay, you know what, going to this game, I feel good about our chances?
Well, we have a huge game in Charlotte against North Carolina, a rival for us, you know, being in the ACC for all those years. That's a huge rival for us, a place that we recruit a lot in Charlotte, in the state of North Carolina. So that's our first and foremost as we start getting ready for our season. Right now, we're focused on training camp and just getting South Carolina better. We're really big, Damon, around here about taking control of the things we can control, and that's our preparation right now. We've got great respect for Alabama as a program, and obviously I worked with Nick, and I know what kind of coach he is, and he's probably one of the greatest coaches in college football history as far as his accomplishments and the consistency that he's had. But we're focused on South Carolina right now, and we know that our opener's in Charlotte against North Carolina.
Will Muschamp joins us, head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks. And you have said, now going into year number four, your roster, you feel like you got more depth than ever before and better leadership than ever before. Those two ingredients are enormously huge for success. If you could pick one, though, that's even more important than the other, would it be the depth of talent or would it be guys stepping up and being leaders?
Well, I don't know that you could put one in front of the other. I mean, it was yesterday we had 150-play scrimmage. We had three groups going, and each group got right at 50 snaps and a real tackle football. So we haven't been able to do that here. And really, it's in talking in terms of developing the bottom half of your roster, because there's some guys that are young players or maybe some players that just hasn't really scratched the surface of how good they can be, and they're getting really live reps, because this is a developmental game, and you've got to develop and coach them, especially on the line of scrimmage. And yesterday was a huge benefit for us, but we have more quality depth, I would say. It's easy to say we have depth, but we have more quality depth than we've ever had. But I also think that the leadership part of that is really important. We've got 18 seniors. Some of them have been four-year starters, some three-year starters, and some definitely some two-year starters. But guys that have played a bunch of football for us and understand what it's going to take for us to be successful. And I've been really pleased with their leadership in our training camp and how they handled the offseason.
No, you said something really interesting, developing the bottom half of your roster. The NCAA limits the amount of times you can meet with guys during the offseason. That becomes more and more difficult. How much of a challenge is it to take over a program and still try to develop that bottom half of the roster when you are limited?
Well, first of all, it starts in recruiting and signing good players and signing guys that have football intelligence, that are really smart, that have the right kind of character that you want to coach. And I obviously have the ability and the critical factors at each position to be successful in our league with the schedule that we have. And then, do a great job developing them. When you have opportunities to meet with them, is educate them as much as you can in all three phases of what we do. Obviously, do a great job in the weight room with them and do a great job as far as our agility and speed development work. So it's an all-encompassing process. I mean, it's a year-round deal as far as being a student-athlete and playing in the Southeastern Conference.
You guys, red zone-wise, I'm sure want to be more efficient coming into the season, more points in that red zone. What are the keys for the Gamecocks to be able to do that this year?
Well, I think running the ball is going to help us to be able to have a threat running the ball, because the pass zones condense so much. We did throw the ball extremely well for the most part last year, but against good people, we didn't run the ball as well. We left 13 opportunities on the field, 8 turnovers in the red zone. We can't have one. we can't have one ever, but we certainly can't do it in the red zone. But we left 13 opportunities, you know, leaving the field with 8 turnovers and 5, you know, turnovers on down. So, you know, we want to score 100% of the time down there and at least 70% of the time scoring touchdowns. It's demoralizing to have a 10 or 12 play drive, get all the way down there and have to kick a field goal. And that's a win for the defense. Defensively, we want to make the offense kick field goals 60% of the time. And if we do that, we're playing really good red zone defense. We've spent a lot of time in the red zone, which we always do in training camp to expose our players to the different things that we need to do to be successful there.
Head coach of the South Carolina Gamecocks, Will Muschamp, is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. We have a number of Gamecocks fans that listen to this show regularly in the South Carolina area. And now this is his second stint for you as a head coach in the SEC. When you took over this, or now going into year number 4, were there things that you changed about your approach or your game plan or what you wanted to do versus the first time around?
Well, I mean, I think you live and learn in all professions, and certainly being a head coach, if you haven't been one before, you think you got all the answers until you actually sit behind the desk and realize all the different decisions that affect everybody in your organization every single day. So certainly I'm much better than I was year one, but that's natural. I don't know that philosophically we've changed our approach and how we recruit and how we coach, and how we develop players in all three phases. Our all-season program, you know, none of those things have really changed. Obviously, some decision-making on my part could have been better at Florida, and I think that we've made some better decisions here as far as moving our program in the right direction, and I think it's pretty evident that we've won more games than any other staff has in 3 years, and we're excited about our future.
I think that's interesting because I think a lot of fans just assume a coach is fully formed the moment that he takes the field, but that's not necessarily true. What are the types of things that you learn on an annual basis or semi-annual basis when you're in that role?
Damon, the ball doesn't change. The X's and O's, that doesn't change. That's the easy part. It's just managing your staff. It's managing your roster. It's hiring the right coaches. It's hiring the right fits. And I certainly think I've done that here. I think we have a really good staff here. And you look at Brian McClendon and Tavares Robinson, two of the better young coaches in our profession, really good position coaches. Jeff Dillman and his strength staff do a fantastic job. I mean, just top to bottom, as far as everything in our program, I'm very pleased with where we are. Now, we've got to continue to fight to keep these people because this past offseason and the year before last, I mean, a lot of people have come after our coaches, which is a good thing. I mean, you got quality people in your organization. So, you know, just get surrounding yourself with the right people that are on the same page with you philosophically on what you want to do to be successful. And I want to compliment Ray Tanner and our administration. They've been unbelievably supportive of us since we've been here. And the biggest evidence of that is the Long Family Operations Facility here. $50 million project that we moved into in January. And it's made a difference in our program. It's made a difference in recruiting. Top to bottom, it's made us a better product.
3 seasons at South Carolina, 3 postseason berth. The South Carolina Gamecocks looking to build on that this season. They'll open up against UNC in Charlotte. That's a 3:30 Eastern kick on ESPN, so national TV right out of the gate coming up on Labor Day weekend. And then that first appearance on the SEC on CBS, right here on CBS, is going to be against Alabama on Saturday, September the 14th. Will Muschamp, head coach of the Gamecocks, joining us. Will, it's really good to catch up with you. Thanks so much for doing so. Best of luck this season. Hopefully we can catch up again.
Damon, thanks for your time. Go Cox.
My pleasure. Coach Will Muschamp joining us here on the show. Go Cox! From Coach Muschamp. SEC East used to be the little sisters to the SEC West. And I think with Georgia's resurgence, it's much more of a division now that could be proud that it's not just a pushover in the SEC title game. But I don't see any of those teams in the East that are at Georgia's level. This year, preseason media prognostications of the SEC, Georgia 1, Florida 2, Mizzou 3, South Carolina 4, Tennessee 5, and Kentucky all the way down to 6. Remember how good Kentucky's season was last year, kind of a Cinderella year, and still they're being picked second to last in the division, Vanderbilt bringing up the rear. I think that Georgia's going to be phenomenal again, and you know, that Georgia-Florida game, obviously, there's always seemingly something on the line for the world's largest outdoor cocktail party. This year might be a spot of the SEC title game, but, you know, while Muschamp and the Gamecocks have taken some steps over the last couple of years,
they'll really have to do some damage to get into that conversation with the top two or three. Certainly the top two with Florida and Georgia. And I think Georgia's that next level up from everybody. But Sunday Morning Football returns to the airwaves for season number four. Super excited. Season number four of our favorite college football recap show and NFL preview show. It's 2 hours on Sunday morning. It'll be 10 until noon Eastern time. 10 until noon Eastern time right here on CBS Sports Radio. We move it 1 hour later to get up against your NFL pregame show to begin at noon Eastern time. So many places, including right here on CBS Sports Radio. Doing more brought to you by The Home Depot, the next generation home improvement, everything that you need to do project smarter. The Home Depot, more saving, more doing. Taking a look at a player doing more for his team. Tony Pollard, the Cowboys rookie running back, carries the ball 5 times, 42 yards and a touchdown on Saturday night as the Cowboys beat the Rams 14-10 in the first game in Hawaii since the Pro Bowl 3 years ago. Pollard had a touchdown run from 14 yards out, and Dak Prescott's only drive of the game, where Prescott also completed 5 passes, all 5 that he threw. Sunday Morning Football is going to return week 1 of the NFL season. So Labor Day, no Sunday Morning Football Labor Day weekend, although I will be on the air both Friday and Monday. We've got college football across the landscape on Labor Day weekend, so I said, let's do it. I'm on the air Monday, Labor Day morning to break down the college football week number 1, week number 0 coming up this weekend. And then week number 1, Labor Day weekend. And again, Sunday Morning Football starts up week 1 of the NFL season. When we return, has Jay Gruden already screwed up his quarterback situation in Washington? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.